My name is Salomon Yadesa, and part of ACC, and I lead two fellowships. One is International Fellowship, Agape Fellowship International. The other is Ethiopian Fellowship, Ethiopians living in Fort Wayne, and also Ethiopians adopted into the families of Americans, children from Ethiopia. So I lead two groups, one on Saturday evening and the other one on Sunday afternoon. It's a busy weekend for me. During the other weekdays, I work. So today, I wanted to share God's story. God's story starts with grace. The grace that reaches to humanity when humanity cannot reach to God. When humanity cannot offer anything to God, God offers. God takes the first step to reach to us. And I'm one of those who were reached by God. When I was not able even to speak about God, when I were not able to understand about God, He reached down to me. He expressed His love to me. And His love was so amazing. His love was so different from my father's love, from my mother's love. When I was grade 9, I was born into Christian family. My father was a Presbyterian pastor. I had enough when God's word is concerned. But you know, I didn't understand. I didn't get it. But when God started to reach out to me, I got it. I got the love of God. And He started to sing in me. He created song in me. And I started to sing from that love, from that deep love, from that deep relationship. I started to sing. And I moved from church to church. This Sunday, I come and to sing in this church. Next Sunday, I go to another one. Next Sunday, I walk. I'm not driving. So the church, the parish around that area observed what I was doing and sometimes say, ask me to preach. Even after the preacher finished his sermon, when they see me, they bring the Bible to me and they say, can you continue? And I started to share what I learned during the week. So today, I want you to understand about the grace of God, which is the starting point. People don't understand about Christ. People don't understand about God because God is so huge and we are tiny creatures. We can't fathom about God. Some people say, well, I can't believe in something I don't see. You can't see God. We can't see God. We see His works. We see His smiles in a sad person. A sad person smiling, that is God. A broken person being healed, restored, that is God. God's hand. Those are the signs. A person who is suicidal and who attempted suicide several times, when he finds meaning in living, when he finds purpose in living, that is God. I talked to a person who attempted suicide 4 times. One time he shot himself with a gun. He survived. Another time he overdosed himself. And 2 times he hung himself. He survived. And we had a nice talk about that. And he smiled. And he confessed. And he cried. And he said, I found purpose now. That is God. Nobody can counsel that kind of person. He has gone through jails, jail after jail, counseling after counseling. nothing helped. But when God, through His grace, stepped into his life, darkness vanished. He found purpose in his life. Today, the chapter I share with you is the chapter in which God's grace reached down to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Chapter 15, I'm sorry. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estates is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars. If you can count them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring will be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Some of the words I highlighted are, after this, it says, after this. After Abraham was coming, after Abraham was fighting with other enemies, four kings were fighting his cousin. And they took all the belongings of his cousin. And Abraham went helping his cousin to regain all the resources. And they defeated all the four kings. And they came back. He was tired. He was not sure about his security. He was not sure about his safety. And he was not sure about his future. And he has experienced death fighting. And coming back, he was worried, who will be my heir? And he was worried. And Abraham, and God said, do not be afraid. The word of the Lord came to Abraham means God is taking the first step. We don't see Abraham inviting God. We don't see Abraham even praying. He didn't have the strength to pray. He was afraid. He was worried. He was consumed about thoughts. He lost everything. He was emotionally disturbed. He was socially disconnected from his parents, his relatives. He is alone. He was living in the middle of nowhere. But God promised him that he will prosper him, he will multiply him. But that was not happening. And he was not sure what's happening. So it was God who was supposed to reach, you know, at this moment when Abraham was in a confused state. He was worried, afraid. Then the Lord said, I think this guy needs help. I think this guy needs my help. Let me step into his life. And God comes through vision. When you are afraid, when you have nowhere to go, when you are confused, when you are not sure what's happening tomorrow, what's happening next year, God steps into your life. When you finish all your resources, when you finish all your strengths, all your hopes, God starts. So God started coming to Abraham. He said, do not be afraid. I like the words. I am your shield, your very great reward. Most of us do not understand that God values us, that we are precious to him. We don't understand how precious we are in front of God. So many people try to destroy or harm themselves because they don't understand the value of their life, the value of their life, their living, the purpose of their living. Here God says, I am your shield, your very great reward. Do you hear this like it is speaking to you? Please take it that way. You are valid and you are his reward. You are very great reward to God. You have great value to God. So when Abraham was not sure about his future, about his heir, God promised, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So he is promising him. He is giving him assurance. Abraham didn't have the strength to really understand, to rejoice in his current states, to rejoice in his current situation. He didn't have enough strength to accept himself and to enjoy his present life because he is consumed about the future. But God is bringing the future into the present and telling him, you will have heir. And the person, the child who is your own blood and your flesh will be your heir. So he took him outside and said, look up in skies, count the stars. Can you count them? And your children will be like that. And the thing I liked about Abraham is, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. God credited it to him as righteousness, believing in God. Even though he didn't receive now, he believed that it will happen. So faith takes us to where we cannot reach at the present moment. Faith takes us higher to the level we cannot reach because we are weak, because we are despair in a despaired moment, because we are hopeless, we can't reach, but faith takes us there. Faith enables us to reach where we cannot reach. And love will take us down, back to serve others, to serve one another. So, how does grace work? Grace doesn't depend on our conditions. It doesn't depend on your current stage. It comes to us in our lostness. Faith comes to us when we have nothing to offer to God. It is the hand of God stretching and reaching out to us. That is grace. When we have nothing to give, grace comes from the Lord. And he says, even if we are empty-handed, even if we have nothing to give, he says, it's all right, my son. It's all right, my daughter. You are accepted. That is what grace does. Many of us try to give God, to satisfy God, because there are so many religions in this world. We get confused. So many religions asking us to do something to satisfy God, this God and that God. That's our mentality, that we, you know, that we are influenced from other societies, other groups. But God doesn't take anything from you. He gives to you. That is the meaning of grace. He doesn't sit down and wait for you until you do something, but he does something and enables you to respond. That is, the response is faith. And Abraham was credited for that. It comes, faith, grace comes when we are resourceless, when we finished all our resources to please God, to make God happy. We are done, we have finished everything we have, we are tired, grace comes. Grace, which doesn't really need our resources. God needs our resources after as a response of thankfulness, not as a condition to be accepted. God doesn't ask anything from you until he gives you something. He gives you and expects a response in faith, in thankfulness. There is no condition for God. He accepts you as you are. He accepts you as you are. There are so many stories after stories of people, broken people, asking, where was God when I was broken? What was he doing when this was happening to me and this was happening to me? I have nothing to do with God. And I say, where are you now? Do you know you made it by yourself up to now? Do you know? Are you sure you made it yourself to this point? Are you sure you were the one who made it here up to this point? And they started, I'm not sure. So I say, are you sure God is not here now? Will you be willing to just say, just call the name of the Lord? And when we start to call the name of the Lord, he shows, he knocks on the hard door, hard heart. The broken heart starts healing, responding to this love, to the grace that enabled them to be alive today. And they start to say, I was dead 15 years ago. I was dead 20 years ago. When this happened to me, I was done at that point. I never thought I would made it up to now. There you go. The grace of the Lord. Even when you are broken, the grace is there waiting for you to recognize that you are broken. So, I like the grace because I found it meaningful in my life. When I try to please God, doing whatever I can, and find myself broken again, the grace comes, saying, "It's okay. Start. Let us start again. It's okay. Let us start again. Let's walk with hope." And then I start to walk, crying inside my heart, crying. But the Spirit soothing me, comforting me, and enabling me to praise God when I cannot praise God. So the grace of the Lord, I like it, because that was what brought Jesus to this world. The grace brought Jesus to die on your behalf, to die on my behalf, the grace from the Lord Jesus, our Savior. He did everything for us. He did everything on my behalf. When I was not supposed to do, when I was not able to do anything for God, he did it. He died on the cross, saying, "This is for you. This is for you. I pay. I die on your behalf. I pay the cost of your sin." How can I say you know, I lack word to say thank you to him. There is no word that can really match the gratefulness in my heart. When I think of the death Jesus died on my behalf, that is extraordinary. God begins to work when we reach our last point, when we say, I can't move from beyond this line, I can't move. When we say that, when we say, I don't know how to reach tomorrow, I don't know how to see tomorrow, God says, I'm here. When we say, I'm done, God starts, I'm going to start. But he will wait until you say, I'm done. He doesn't want to share credit with anybody. He is very jealous. He is jealous God. He is jealous God. He doesn't want to be robbed of his grace, of his work, of his giving, of his love. So we have to say, I'm done. I'm done. We move out and he steps in to work, to maintain, to restore whatever the enemy stole from us. He will store. He will restore. He has it. But are we really bold enough to say, I'm done? Are we really bold enough to say, Lord, I have nothing to offer now. I need you. I encourage you, brothers and sisters. Tell you need God. Tell you have nothing to offer, but you need him. Tell you have nothing to give, but you need him. And you will see in your life restored. Your strength coming back. Your hope coming back. Your health coming back. 3 months ago, I went to Ohio to celebrate with one of the people with whom I prayed, the grace, with whom I shared the grace of the Lord. He was on breathing machine. Life support. And his son was sitting with his daughter around him. Father, unresponsive, not responding. And we shut the door. And we invited God into that room, into that condition. And 2 hours later, Father started to move his finger. And gradually he improved. He was discharged. He was healed. Perfect. Now he asked about me to be with him, to be on the banquet and music festival, which was organized by Life Song. And I was there with them. He was the main organizer. That person on the breathing machine was the main organizer. I can't see how thankful his face shows. He's so thankful. He said, life after this is for the Lord. And he is supporting the orphans. He is trying to give as much as he received from the Lord. The grace reached when they said, it's done. God started to work. God said, I'm going to start new. So, God begins to work when we reach our last point. When we say, Lord, I need you. So, my brothers and sisters, be bold. Be honest with God. it's not really shameful to say, Lord, I need you. I know the culture in America really doesn't, you know, approve asking for help. In Africa, we ask for help. If I need help, if you say, oh, can I carry this one for you? I say, yes, please. In America, no, I'm okay. So I really encourage, try to go beyond the cultural experience you have. When it comes to God, say, I need you. It's not shameful. When it comes to your health, when it comes to your financial situation, when it comes to your children's situation, say, Lord, I need you. You will find help. He waits until you say, I need. Until you finish. When you say, I can do it, okay, son, try. It's okay, try. He doesn't say, don't try. He says, try. But whenever you need help, I'm there for you. And that is a grace I wanted to talk to you today. The grace expressed on the cross through the death and resurrection of Christ. So another example from just another example of the grace. Reaching out when we finish our resources. When we say we are done, the grace says, I'm going to start. This is another example. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. They have been working and fishing throughout the night. We caught nothing. That is what they said. We have nothing. So this is the end. Dead end, I mean. When they said, we have nothing, he said, put out your nets. He showed them direction. They could have refused. You know, Lord, Master, we know much more about fishing more than you do. We are experienced. We have the masters in fishing. We don't really take that kind of advice. And look at the time. It's not fishing time, Master. They could have argued. They could have used logical thinking and refused the advice. But they said, okay, I will do as you say. But I will do as you say and lay down nets. I will obey you. And when this is the perfect example of the grace that reaches to us when we say we are done. When we say we have nothing to offer to God, the grace says, you are mine. I have you. And that's okay. And he enables us. The grace enabled them to harvest more than what they should have they could have harvested. So I want you to make decision today. Decision to trust this God of grace. Let us rest on what God for everything. Let us trust him rather than trusting what we have. And for Abraham, he trusted. Even though he doesn't have heir right now, he trusted. And God credited that for him. And with this, I end my sermon. The grace of the Lord reaches out to us when we have nothing to offer to God. When we say, I'm done, I can't move beyond this, God says, I'm going to start. We will move on. Together, we will move on. I'm going to start to use you. So, my brothers and sisters, there are so many people who have never heard about the grace of God that enables them to move on. Never heard. And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to talk about the grace of God revealed in Christ Jesus, to die my death and your death. People don't know about it. There are so many people. Trust me, there are so many people who never heard about this love. Whatever they heard was, you know, do this and God will do this for you. That's what they heard. Do this and God will be happy with you. Do this and God, and then you will be God's child. That is not grace. Grace is responding to God's gift. The gift that is given to you free when you cannot offer God. God offers you something. Salvation. Life. Abundant life. Whatever you have to do is responding to that love. That is what people didn't hear. There are so many religions teaching that God requires this. God wants them to give this much. If they give this much, God will bless them, bless their life. If they give this, they will be blessed. Their life will be blessed. But grace is the opposite. Say, I have nothing to offer, Lord. I'm empty. I have nothing to give. I have no ability to move on. I don't know how to take the next step. But God will say, we will move on. We will start to walk together. That is what and how I understand grace. God reaching to the unreached person, to the person who is not able, who has finished all his resources to move on. Then God steps in to his life. That is grace. Rest in this grace. Walk in this grace. With confidence about your salvation, about your life, about your future, about your children, about your ministries. When I say your children, God's children. So, rest in that grace. Say, when you are tired, when you're done, say, I'm done, Lord. I can't move on. He will say, we'll start. I have a plan for you, and you will reach there. May the Lord bless you, and I call Pastor Lance or Suzanne.